And by introducing first the Bureau of Development Services staff, Noel Elliott and Tim Heron and Nancy Kwan. See, the members of the commission here today are, they'll be along shortly and I'll introduce them as they arrive. Commission members are private citizens appointed by the mayor to provide review of new construction remodeling projects within designated design zones. We are not paid, but serve entirely as volunteers. More detailed information regarding the purpose and function of the commission can be found in the Portland Zoning Code. Commission members must declare a conflict of interest, bias, or ex parte contact prior to the staff presentation of a particular case. If a commission member has a conflict of interest or bias, they are not allowed to participate in commission discussion or voting on that project. If a commission member has had an ex parte contact, they must declare the substance of it on the record and it is subject to rebuttal. Type 3. For Type 3 reviews, the following procedure is required. Public testimony can only address the applicable approval criteria or other criteria in the comprehensive plan or land use regulations which the person believes apply to the decision. The applicable approval criteria are set forth in the Portland Zoning Code and are more specifically identified in the staff report. The staff will identify the applicable criteria as part of the staff report. Two, prior to the close of this hearing, any participant may request an opportunity to present additional evidence or testimony. If such a request is made, the commission will either grant a continuance or hold the record open to provide an opportunity to submit additional evidence and an opportunity to respond to that new evidence. Three, failure to raise an issue accompanied by statements or evidence sufficient to afford the commission and the parties an opportunity to respond to the issue precludes appeal to the Land Use Board of Appeals, LUBA, based on that issue. Four, failure of the applicant to raise constitutional or other issues relating to the proposed conditions of the approval with sufficient specificity to give the commission an opportunity to respond to the issues precludes an action for damages in circuit court under ORS 197.796. The commission's decision on this case is final unless appealed to City Council within 14 days of the decision. If the decision is not appealed, it must be recorded with the Multnomah County Recorder. Specific instructions will be provided with the notice of the commission's action. This hearing is tape recorded, and all speakers need to sit at the front table and give their name and mailing address before speaking. The following procedures will be used for each case. Hearing procedure for a Type 3. 1. Staff will show slides of the site surrounding area. 2. Staff will present a report. The staff report will include the applicant's proposal, identify the applicable approval criteria, include information on letters received on the request, findings, and recommendation on the request. 3. Applicant will present their report. Opportunity for a rebuttal will be offered later prior to the vote by the commission. 4. Public testimony will be received in favor of the proposal. The commission or the chair has the option of imposing a 3 to 5 minute time limit. If there aren't a lot, we'll not impose the time limit today. 5. Public testimony will be received in opposition to the proposal. The chair has the option of imposing a 3 to 5 minute time limit. Same will apply to this to opposition. 6. The applicant will then be given an opportunity to rebut the testimony of the opponent. 7. Public testimony will be closed. 8. If any party requests an opportunity to submit additional evidence, the record will be held open 7 days to allow time to submit additional evidence. The record will be held open an additional 7 days to allow parties to submit evidence responding to the new evidence. 9. After the record is closed to all other parties, the applicant will have an additional 7 days to submit final written arguments without additional evidence. 10. After the record is closed to all parties, commission members will discuss and vote on the request. In the case of tie vote on any motion, the motion will fail. 11, if the commission's decision amends or overturns the Bureau of Development Service staff report, the adoption of new or revised findings will be required. At the time of its decision, the commission will announce when the revised findings will be considered. No additional testimony will be taken, but interested parties may attend. Gwen Milius of the commission and Jeff Sturr have joined us, and we're expecting one more, and we'll need that to have a quorum here. Our first case is LU08103953DZ.
Should I start without the other commissioner?
I don't think we should. What's that?
There's a packet here.
Oh, I haven't seen Ben come in, but I don't think we should start
until
we have a quorum. Because this is a formal application.
Right.
It was a briefing or something like that, maybe. So this is a site address at 321 Northwest Gleason. This is a seven-story warehouse, and the commission has seen this and processed this before, and they're looking to make some changes. So we'll wait till we have a quorum. I don't know if there's any business we need to conduct.
Andy wanted to talk about the paperwork, but he's not here, so.
Oh, yeah.
About the what?
Did you get the email with the stuff we have to have done before April 15th?
Yeah, there's
some disclosure.
Some material we should read before we receive a mailing from the state. It's a form to fill out of some sort that's due by April 15th. I just saw the notice, but look for it.
I think they attached all of it in email, too, so it's, several pages of forms to fill out.
Gwen, that came from the city attorney's office?
Yeah, I think what we're expecting in the mail came by email, so you can get it done.
Oh, yeah, okay. Okay, we have a quorum. Ben Kaiser has joined us. This is LU08103953DZ. Blaine Hogard, Lower East Burnside LLC. This is for a site at 321 Northwest Gleason. Noel Elliott, welcome back.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon. I'm Noel Elliott, and I'll repeat this. This is LU08103953DZ. It's a renovation of an existing seven-story warehouse at 321 Northwest Gleason. It's known as the East of Pearl Building. You may be familiar with the site. The site recently went through a Type 3 design review approval in 2007 with Tim Herron as the planner. What you see here was the final approval, which expanded the building with three new floors on the roof and some roof gardens. Due to some constraints, the project never commenced, and we have a new proposal in front of you today. This proposal is quite reduced in scope and primarily reflects changes to the existing building skin. The site lies within Northwest Portland. It's a few blocks west of the Willamette River, just north of the Chinatown New Japantown Historic District, and highlighted in green there is the location of the Chinese Garden. The site is east of the North Park blocks, south of Union Station, and it's just at the foot of a steel bridge. It's bound on the south by Gleason, on the west by 4th, and on the east by 3rd Avenue. The site is zoned central commercial with a design overlay. It sits within the Central City Plan District and the River Subdistrict. The approval criteria are the Central City Fundamental Design Guidelines and the River Subdistrict Design Guidelines. The proposal involves a renovation of the existing seven-story warehouse. No new floor areas proposed. It's all office use with retail at the ground floor. The existing 55-foot tall roof penthouse will be shortened to 10 and a half feet, and changes will be made to the building skin, primarily on the south facade.
What do you mean by 55-foot penthouse going to 10 and a half feet?
Is that accurate?
That's the tower.
There's a tall tower that you'll see in the photographs that's existing.
It's on top of the building. It's 55 feet above the top of the building. Okay, all right.
So, no parking is provided. One full-size loading stall is going to be retained. The maximum floor area ratio allowed for the site is 6 to 1, but the existing building has non-conforming rights to its 7.1 FAR. The applicant is seeking to earn an additional 1.1 to 1 FAR through the bike locker bonus room bonus option, which was included. This was included in the approval in 2007. But it should be noted that gaining this bonus is not a requirement for approval, as they have non-conforming status. Changes since the approved design include removal of the three-story addition, removal of the residential component and the roof gardens, and the deep inset balconies have been eliminated except from the seventh floor. And I think this is significant, as pushing the windows forward to the street, I think, will improve the street presence. And I think some of the commissioners had concerns about the balconies back in the previous review. Here's some context photos. This is looking southwest across the Willamette River, and the building sort of glowing there. This is also looking south at the north facade, and you can see that tall tower. This is looking south from the train station. And this is looking north from within the Chinese garden. You can see how the reduction in height of the roof tower and the new color proposed for the facade will change its presence from viewed within the Chinese garden. This is looking west from the ramp of the steel bridge. And although the site's not dedicated, a dedicated gateway location, it does form sort of a gateway into the River District. And I just wanted to quickly step back and show some of the history of the original proposal. This is from the first DAR in June of 2006. And this is the second DAR in July of 2006. And you can see how the roof addition and the window forms became more rectilinear and the whole thing a little more cohesive. And a quick comparison of the previous proposal and the current one. The roof addition's been eliminated. What's remained is the stone cladding at the base, and we do have a sample of that here, the dark paint color, and the large light fixtures at the ground floor, which range in height from 6 to 7 feet 9 inches, but are shorter than ones that were previously approved. This is the existing south facade. I've highlighted the tower that's going to be reduced, and this is the historic ornamentation that's going to be retained in the current proposal, which was kind of a request by the commission in the last proposal. So here's the current proposal. This is the historic ornamentation, and these are areas of new or enlarged window openings. And here you can see the location of a new mechanical enclosure. These are the north, east, and west elevations, and not much is being done to them, but this is the area that's being reduced on that tower and the location of the enclosure. One of the more significant aspects of the current proposal is the new sunshade element, which combines horizontal louvers and sort of a flat sunshade panel. They're significant in part because of the very planar nature of the existing facade, their projection from the facade, and their location on six floors of the building. And I just wanted to give you a brief history on the evolution of the sunshades. These were all options that were looked at during the current review, and what they ended up with was something that's pretty well integrated into the deep concrete window openings and only projects 1 foot 9 inches from the face of the building. This is the location of the bike locker rooms on the ground floor, which together measure 335 square feet and earn a FAR bonus of 1.1 to 1 FAR, which brings this non-conforming FAR that the building has into conformance with the current zoning code. So staff recommends approval for the renovation to the existing seven-story building and approval for the bike locker room floor area bonus earning 13,400 square feet, which is approximately 1.1 to 1 FAR. And that's all from me.
Okay, questions for staff?
I actually have a question real quick. Mm-hmm. And it might actually be a question for Jeff, but you might be able to answer this. If the River District design guidelines that we've been reviewing were in place today, would the building's color pass muster with it being so close to the Chinese garden?
They wouldn't in that future code.
But today they do.
Today they do.
Okay. Just curious.
Okay, Lewis. Blaine?
Blaine Hoggard, H-O-G-G-A-R-D, Post Office Box 22334, Milwaukee, Oregon, 97269. Staff has done a great job explaining the changes to the building in our prior proposal. With the residential market in the condition it is, economics didn't allow the addition to the upper floors, but it did allow us to better emphasize the building as the existing seven-story structure and historical significance of the elements that are there, which Lewis will describe.
Lewis Martinez, I'm with EDA Architecture, 12800 Southwest Parkway. That's Portland, Oregon, 97225. And again, I would like to say that I think Noel's done a good job showing all the details and things that we did. What I want to stress on what we did when we looked at the building and started relooking at the building, I guess, is since the big change was the window treatment and the balconies we were going to put on all the floors, since the building now needed the additional square foot to make it work and different elements to it, we pretty much kept all the details that were in the original proposal. One of the things we brought down were, like, in the center, the double windows at the top, the smaller windows. That was brought up in the original design as an element that we had on the top floor that we did in the new addition. Now we just brought that design element down, and we thought that was a good tie to what we had in the bottom. So the rest of the design, the stone, we didn't do anything different on that. The only difference, like she said, on the light fixtures, some of the smaller light fixtures here were 2 feet bigger, and she felt it was a little bit too big, so we scaled them down. The colors, we used the color template, the stone colors, and the cornice detail I know was an important element last time too, so we maintained all that. We just brought things down kind of to that level. The important part in the middle, the ornamentation, that was one of the things stressed on the last committee, was keeping as much of that possible, and pretty much we're keeping pretty much all of it. There's only one little detail in front of one little window on top of the arches, where it has a little pop-out sticking out there, and one of them's already gone, so that's the only thing. Besides that, all the eagles that are up there, all that cornice detail that's in the middle, all that stays right where it is. So what we focused on, again, was the window treatment. So this floor here, from here to here, like you said, we brought the glass out to the street face. The top thing was the challenge, because we're looking at how do you cap the building out. Originally, that cap we had was here. How do we separate this from this? We had a nice strong base, but how do we do this? So we went back and forth, and I think, you know, we spent a lot of time back and forth. We looked at every idea. We started off with the existing windows that were here, and what we were doing was adding two windows to the side structurally, because we wanted to maintain some structural integrity to the building. And then we tried to do the same thing at the top. It has little small arch windows at the top. It wasn't working. We changed it to larger windows. That wasn't working. So then we changed it to square windows, but that still wasn't doing what it needed to do. So we ended up where we kept the balcony recess on the top, and I think that gave it the nice thing up there. And then the space, as far as outdoor space for the public or the tenants of the building, have a really, really nice outdoor space where they're sitting really behind all these elements, and you got the panoramic view of everything across. The windows, what we ended up doing in the windows, and I think the important part is she showed you some of those details. We started off with, if we have the windows here, what we did is we got rid of that structural thing. We put a beam in here to support the windows. So when we did that, one thing that we were losing was this vertical element that was real strong in the building. So we tried to figure what's the best way to maintain that. So what we ended up doing at the end is we ended up, because of the overhangs, they were so far out. You got to have so much overhang to cover the windows when we were getting overheating. The structural engineer said that we needed an additional 17% cooling load if we didn't put the louvers. The challenge we had was we have like ceiling heights this high. So we have ductwork, and if we increase it, there's really not a lot of head height. So that's why we went with the radiant floor system and cooling system, which really helps with our energy lead points. So what we ended up doing was we ended up at the top level, you shouldn't talk this, but the top level here, if you're inside the building, that louver is right about here. So when you're inside the building, you're looking out without the obstruction of louvers. We started off with just louvers on the top that were up against the window plane. That wasn't enough. We're still getting too much heat gain. So we ended up pushing the window back behind the 9-inch window concrete wall, because we're building a new third wall inside with the insulation. So by doing that, we were able to delete the extension to a lot less than what we had. We also refined the detail where it's a very nice narrow line and it ties in with the overhead louvers on the windows and then the little small protrusion. So anyway, we went back and forth, and there was a lot of study in this, and I think we came out with a really, really clean look. The part that really worked here, I think, in the last process, because of the building type that it is the challenge in how to get a plan that really works. So working with staff was really important, and I know Noel's input in this really helped me, you know, lead us to a really clean look. Besides that, everything else is pretty much the same. Yeah. That was the challenge. We did try every other option, and I think this is the best one.
Okay. Questions for the applicant?
Just out of curiosity.
What is in that 55-foot tower now? What was that?
There's an old freight elevator that's in that building. You can drive a car in there and take it all the way to the roof. So it's still functioning right now.
You know why it was so high above the roof? I'm just
curious. Our construction guy.
The reason it was so high is the hoistway.
Excuse me. You'll have to come up and give us your name and tell us who you are. The microphones can't recognize you. Sorry.
That's all right. My name is Mick Gross, G-R-O-S-S, and my address is 8221 Southeast Aspen Summit Drive. I'm the project manager and building superintendent for this project. And to answer your question, is at one time the elevator landed, there was actually a landing on the roof. And since the hoistway for the elevator is pulled up with a cable spool, the actual mechanism for the operation of the elevator is at the highest point of that tower, because the carriage of the elevator and the counterweights apparently were calculated to be at that point where we're so high. So we're going to Coney elevators, which are tractorless, motorless, and we're going to cut that tower down and keep it behind the facade of the front of the building.
Jeff.
Luis, I know that you went through an extensive energy study here, but was curious on a couple of the louver placements that you've got, primarily on the ground floor. The proportions that you have study right there, and I'm also, and I know you've provided some details here in the back as well. Did you look at other alternatives besides louvers for sun control on that upper clear story window above your panel?
Well, you mean such as shade that you pull down or things like
well,
that?
Well, or whether you put some type of a etched glass or something like that to kind of cut down on the amount of sun intrusion or reeded glass or something other than the louvers themselves, if there were anything other options that you studied.
When we started doing the design of that, the thing that the engineer was stressing, and we were working with him as far as getting the energy to work, he just said his comment was you absolutely have to have louvers or you're going to overheat your building. And so that's what we focused on, and it was how to make that work, or you got actual shading. If you went with a edge glass, you know, how much will that reduce? I'm not sure. We didn't look at numbers like that. So we're looking at actual solid.
So there's still clear glass behind
the louver. Clear glass. So when you stand below, if you look at the section, if you're standing back there, you're still going to get light. You still get to see the blue sky through it. It's just at the angle of the sun, it'll give you the shade that's required.
And I think what you've drawn is just two louvers in that?
Yes, there's.
So what I didn't see is the approximate size of those louvers. Can you direct me to the page that shows that size?
It's not in here. On page C16 and the window assembly section And you're right, there's only two. And that would be, see, it's fitting between the 6-inch tubes. So it's at the angle of the 6-inch tube. So the most of it's probably going to be, you know, at the angle, maybe 7 inches. But if you're standing back and you're looking across, you're still seeing the daylight from the inside.
Are you talking about, are we talking about the ground floor? Are we talking about the upper windows?
The upper windows have the two. The ground floor, because it's got a higher ceiling, has a few more louvers. Yes. That's the difference.
Luis, that starting point is always about 6'6", regardless of the ground floor or the second.
Yes. Yes, and the reason was what we were doing was trying to keep that extension to the least possible. So if we brought that up higher, then it extended further. But at the same time, what we're doing in the building is we're introducing windows on the south elevation, but the east and the west, we're not. We're keeping the smaller windows. And again, the reason was because the engineer said, if you open windows in there, you're going to kill the whole cooling system. So we kept that. So the inside of the space, we're trying to get as much light as possible. So it's not a dark tunnel, you know, a big, big dark space. So I think by maximizing the windows but providing the shade, you're still getting light through even the louvers. And then it's functioning, you know, to the best with minimal detail to it.
Other questions? Gwen?
Up top, I'm seeing a kind of a, not a random pattern of mullion, but I guess maybe a asymmetrical one. What was the thought behind that? In the arched windows, it's sort of like they're not quite randomly placed, but they're sort of asymmetrical. Or maybe that's not what I'm seeing. It's like a mullion that's not quite a...
Oh, the center mullion between the window?
Yeah, if you could say that.
Oh, the doors in the background? The reason it reads kind of awkward up there is because you've got an open balcony, and then you got the aluminum window storefront behind it. So it's how that sits in the floor plan. So you won't really see that in real life because you're going to be looking up at the open balcony recess. But in the elevation on the drawing, it does look kind of awkward because they're like all over the place.
Okay. So. And then, okay, so how committed are you guys to the paint color?
Again, just ask, are you there? Or?
You know, the paint color, I know the owner had some professionals go out there and look at it and look at what was around there. And they look at the color palettes and stuff and really felt this would be the best color for the thing, for the space, based on what was around the neighborhood. And if you do look, I know there's some buildings on the other side, too, that do have a kind of like that color. So as far as, you know.
Yeah, there's been a conversation about the Chinese garden and lightening up the palette around it. So it's just paint, but, you know, no one's going to repaint it, I suppose.
Okay. I can speak a little more to that question if you'd like.
Okay.
This is consistent with the palette that was earlier approved by the commission.
Oh, really? Okay.
At that time, I raised the same issue about the desire and likely intention of the Old Town Chinatown project and the River District Guidelines Revisitation Project to raise that issue and possibly craft some specific guidelines to get to some of these attributes that we had determined with the Chinese garden design master, Mr. Kwan, to be desirable in that view shed from within the garden. Since that time, we are now in that process. That guideline has been before this commission and come from the public and is generally supported. So. You know, the intention is more known and understood and generally accepted than there's bigger community dialogue around it than there was when we first saw the project. So while what Noel said is true, that, you know, the commission didn't go there last time and the regulations are unchanged, you know, our view about, you know, say, for example, the relationship of color for projects like this that are visible from within the garden and the guideline pertaining to making parks and open spaces successful, that linkage might be a little stronger. So it's really up to the commission to determine whether to
lighter is potentially better, given that discussion, and approvable, or more approvable, given that discussion that's since happened or not. I would say that given all that history,
yeah, I know,
probably forcing the team to come back and go through another hearing for that purpose might be farther than the commission wants to go. But if there was a desire to give us some specific direction about, and the owner and his representatives, some specific direction about lightening up the colors prior to our sending out that final approval, that might be something we could simply remedy through the remainder of the process after the hearing.
Jeff.
Louise, could you describe your cornice, the new cornice that you're putting on top of the building, a little bit better than what I'm finding in the drawings as well? Like the material of it. Is it a cast?
You go to the middle. There's a section. It used to be C8.
What we had on the original proposal was a pretty much an EFS type built out thing. We didn't want to put a lot of stone at that top at that height because they were pretty heavy. So we went with an EFS that was going to be finished. And it's on page C8.
Mm-hmm. Right now, the drawing itself just says new cornice, and it implies that it's some type of a cast type.
Yeah, it looks like.
So I want to get on the record about what that is. You're just saying that that's going to be a styrofoam kind of form.
It was a styrofoam is what we're looking at. And just to bring it up, and you can let me know, but when I talked to Mick, he was thinking that a sheet metal formed in that shape might work better with a painted finish on it. But we didn't want to go with the stone just because it was so high and it was so heavy of stone. We didn't want to ever risk that thing coming down. But we wanted the look that everybody was looking for was the larger cornice.
So you would be willing to accept, the panel. I mean, you've looked into the metal. I mean, a lot of the cornices downtown, were metal, mm-hmm. made to look like stone. I mean, it all comes down to how they're detailed, I suppose, yes. But you'll get crisper edges. So that's something I think the commission should maybe discuss as well.
Jeff, can I interject 1 second?
Yeah.
I know that when I ran this down with BK Engineers, they had some initial hesitation regarding uplift and wind shear coming off the face of the building. So I've actually got detailing exact cutout in a riveted 10-foot section by section of sheet metal, exact same design, and running the rain cap off the top. Is actually what I'm leaning for because it could be affixed not only to the top bridge on top of the building where the cornice sits, but to the building face in a more efficient manner than trying to glue the styrofoam and do an EFIS coating. So my honest, although I sprang it on Lewis this afternoon, I had explored the sheet metal option as more something in keeping with the a lot of the integrity of the downtown structures.
Okay.
So that's what we're leaning to now.
Okay.
Any other comments? Or not comments, but questions? Okay, is there anyone that would like to speak in favor or opposition to this project? We have no forms. Okay. Close the public part of this hearing. I guess what we'll do is go around and take comments. You want to start, Gwen?
Okay. Well, I'm sorry I had to come back in. I'm glad to see the building again, and I'm glad to see that you retained more of the historic details on the building. I think they add a lot to the facade, and it's in a lot of ways a good and sort of more sensitive reuse of the building. And so for that reason, I'm happy to see it, and I think that what you're about to do to it will make it a whole lot more useful for future generations. I think it, I would encourage you to use higher quality materials anywhere you can, cornice, certainly thinking about your glazing and all of that stuff, but, you know, just really treat this building well. It's stood for a long time, and, you know, only add things to it that are really going to add to the value of the building and make it a better structure. The paint color thing, I think, I'm hesitant to hold you back for your paint colors. It's just that we just talked about this a couple weeks ago, and that there is this new regulation coming through, or design guideline coming through the River District Design Guidelines, and because this building is so prominent in the Chinese Garden, and the folks at the Chinese Garden have had some strong feelings about color palette around them, and that they've engaged the community in this discussion and gotten a lot of community buy-off on it, that if there's a way that we could encourage a couple values lighter on the paint scheme, I'm not talking about turning it pink or anything like that, just a couple values lighter, I would love to see it happen, but I'm loath to have you come back for that, because I feel like we've visited with you so many times, and I'm sure there are other things you'd rather be doing and be getting this project underway at this point. So that's kind of where I'm at in it. I think it would kind of be a pity to have something this big go that dark when that's come up. But okay. That's where I'm at.
Okay. Ben?
Yeah, I agree with Gwen on the paint color. I think it would be...
Are you aware? Louise, you're probably not aware of this discussion that has been happening about the colors in the area?
Just
today?
Yes, just the last hour.
I'm sorry?
The last hour.
Yeah.
But I do agree with Gwen. That one picture that Noelle showed, I'm sorry, it's very prominent, and it would be a definite direction for a darker color if that's the way you guys go. So maybe it'd be interesting if you had a discussion outside of this just to see what that discussion was about that area, because it would be interesting to lighten it up a couple shades. I'm a bit curious about the louver angle. I don't know if that was the louver angle, Luis. Was that found out by true sun angle?
The sun angles.
Because it seems pretty steep, particularly at 6'6", and it seems... Mm-hmm. Seems like you could flatten it out a little more and get some reflected okay. light.
I'll double check with the interface, but we did all that and got extensions and all that. But I'll double check to make sure the angle is 100% right. Just like to flatten it. If we can, we'll flatten it out.
Right, yeah. Because like you say, looking out, I don't think you'd see much sky at that angle. Or I don't even think you could see out much of that angle.
But, yeah, some blue.
And on the ground floor, I might, bringing that down to 6'6", I would probably argue, again, if it works within your scheme, to pull that up to repeat what's happening on the upper floor so it's a little more taller profile on that ground floor commercial. If you still had two louvers on that level as well, I don't know if that would work within your heating plan, but it seems it would be fitting of that base that you spoke about to have that rise up as well a little more.
If we do that and we need to extend that one louver a little bit more, would that be all right? Because we could do that. We can eliminate some of the top and just extend that just a little bit as far as the extension.
Speaking for myself, I'd be okay with that. I mean, on that above the sidewalk, a little more, you know.
Mm-hmm. Sunshade portion. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it'll really even protect some of the sidewalk.
I think that would be more befitting of that base.
Yes,
to go
I agree.
That way.
I agree.
So that would be my... I like the deep shadow line describing the top. I think that was a nice decision. It seems like you have a big hole cut out already on that southeast corner. Looks like you are already starting down the path of this.
Yes, he's doing test holes, yes, on some of the removal demo.
Yes, looking good. So I think it's looking good.
If I can make a comment now, which might help the committee, Blaine, the owner, just mentioned that if we need to go ahead and lighten the thing up a couple of notches on the shading thing, that he'd be okay with that. On the body color, you know, the one that we're talking. You know, we do have the lighter stone base, you know, we don't want it to be the same, but the big part. Oh, from the Chinese Garden. And one of the things we talked about when we were doing the design with Noelle was maybe even having a lighter color just at the top. But when you did the drawing, it just kind of like was weird. But the whole thing could be, just so you know.
Okay. Is that it, Ben?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, Jeff?
Well, all in all, I'm I'm happy to see this building back in a sense, and I know it's painful probably having gone through the steps that you've gone through, but actually I think keeping more of the existing character of the building as a result of this I think is going to be a positive thing for the overall building. I know you did a lot of hard work before to kind of work on that upper three floors of condos, but not displeased to see where we are at this point. There are a few little details that you know, I still find a bit troublesome. And one is that cornice being, when you said that it was, in fact, EIFS. You know, if we're able to get to a vote today, and if we do that, I mean, I think I might kind of suggest a condition for, going to a metal cornice. The one thing that scares me a little bit is that there are, you know, some conditions here within the building, how certain cornices meet and all that type of stuff, which obviously we're not seeing the details of that and joints and all those types of things that we'd normally see. So that's something that I think would need to be taken into consideration. But I do think that that metal over EIFS would be far preferable, even though this building is 7-8 stories tall. The other issue that does... and it could just be that the drawings that I'm seeing right here, but I'm a little bit concerned about the size of the louvers and the fact that there's just kind of two in that upper area. And I'm wondering if it's the proportion of, you know, these two big louvers within that kind of horizontal kind of slot up above your sunshade in that area. And if there weren't a different glass, but otherwise if you didn't kind of scale that louver down a little bit. And where I'm particularly concerned is where you've got the relationship between the air intake louvers and the and just the sunshade louvers on the ground floor. I mean, that's really going to be visible for the pedestrian on the ground floor level. And it's hard to tell, but it looks like those are two different sized louvers at this point. And so that, I know that may sound nitpicky, but I do think that since these are so prominent, I do think that they kind of deserve a second look. I'm fully in support of the idea of this kind of sunshade out on that south side. I mean, I think there's some great kind of passive solar aspects to that. So I'm not opposed at all to the projection out. It's just more of a scale and proportion issue inside of those things. Again, I agree with fellow commissioners that seventh floor still maintaining the recess, I think, is kind of, it kind of creates a nice cap to that area, and I'm supportive of that up in that area. You know, the only other thing, and this is, it's not a do or die for me in terms of this project, but if you were looking for additional cost savings, I think the building could stand just as well without all the kind of applied stonework on the ground floor. And I'm just going to point to this area. You know, I think creating a nice base down there, but I actually happen to think that your building would be as successful if you didn't put that stone up in that area. And I'm kind of referencing that based on a letter that came to us from Venerable Properties, I believe, here. As I said, I mean, it's your choice. I'm not opposed to what you've done there, but at the same time, I think the building, there are other buildings in that district, you know, that were all kind of, the floor plates were built 3 feet above grade, and they always kind of employed kind of a stone or a concrete plinth in that area, and then the building kind of took off from there. So that said, I would also support on your base color. You know, I'm leery to just say, hey, we're going to let you out of here, and could you just lighten it up a few shades? Because you never know until you actually physically look at it. So, you know, I would be supportive of a couple shades lighter. I just would want to see it, or at least have staff go back and review it, have a second set of eyes on that. So that pretty much wraps up my comments.
Thanks, Jeff. Well, I'm going to fall pretty much in line with everybody else. The color, I'd like to see that lightened a bit or worked on. The metal cornice, I think that's a good suggestion. One thing that caught my eye was the rooftop, and there's a difference between the plan and the actual elevation. And I guess if this building was built out to the height of the allowable height of the building, then it might not be such a big deal for me. But But the building height around this building is 350 feet. So with the way that development has been going, and of course we can't crystal ball the future, but most projects are building out to the maximum FAR and building height these days. And with the in-migration that we're seeing, it's probably going to be a trend that's going to move on. We're not getting more land. So I'm concerned about having a 350-foot height and looking down on your mechanical enclosure, which in your elevation shows that it's a complete piece, and then in your plan it shows that it's kind of a C-shaped. It's open on one side. So so I would like to, and the balance, I guess, on that, from the street, you're not going to see it, but from buildings around it as they come in, and this area is developed, and we suspect that that these vacant blocks will be redeveloped in the distant future. I think there needs to be more continuity and more balance to represent, you know, at least reflect the symmetry of the building. And the last piece I'm thinking is that the louvers and awnings on that ground floor, it just, those windows proportionally just look squat. Mm-hmm. And you've got these big, heavy louvers over the top, and it just, you know, it's part of the proportion of that ground floor. And I guess I'd be with Jeff also if you wanted to pull that tile off the, you know, above the 3 foot level. I don't think it would hurt the building. I do want to say this building, I like this building a lot better than in the past. And I know, Lewis, you worked very hard, and Blaine, you guys really worked the problem to get more square footage and residential on top of this. And it was a very difficult problem, but I think it's a much better solution. And I'm happy it came back myself. So I think what we could do is, one is we could, you could call the question and we could vote today. But the other thing you could do is confer if you want to chat for a moment, take a minute, and see if you want to come back and address these four items. That's, it's up to you.
Can I make one comment regarding Jeff and our metal?
Sure.
I actually was late coming from TTNL Sheet Metal and gave him a letter of intent to him that we were going to follow through earnestly with the metal cornice. I honestly don't think that should be an issue. It's put to bed.
Well, part of the issue is just process here, and it's a matter of it getting into the drawings. I mean, that's technically what we need to do, mm-hmm. And rather than it just kind of being floating out there in the ether. And it's not that I don't disbelieve you. It's just a process issue, and it's really supposed to be in these plans in that respect. So I guess I look to staff in terms of that, you know, and commenting on that. I mean, I hate to render a decision based on you've got four different little things that we're asking you to make these. I mean, I think you could probably get out in 2 weeks and pull these things together and take a look at the colors and be back, and we could have a 5 minute or 10 minute kind of meeting, you know, 2 weeks from now. I don't think our agenda's too tight.
Well, there's plenty of stuff on the agenda, but I think we would put this first and it would be that quick.
Yeah. I mean, I personally would feel more comfortable with that than a lot of what-ifs. I mean, I'd love to get them out today, but...
No, I know.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I support that. And I have one other thing I'd like to add.
Okay, so if we can have the 2 weeks, what we'll do, what we'd like to do is go back with Noel with the items you talked about. It's simple, too, because what you talked about, the size of the louver, originally we had more louvers, smaller, in there, and then we went with a bigger one just to reduce that. So that, I agree with you. I think the smaller one works better. The lower floor, raising it up, now that I know that the bottom level can go a little more, great idea. I think it's better for that street level.
Proportions.
So we can work with staff. We'll get a color and run it through them. They can look at it to make sure, and then we come back and address those. As far as the stone, I'll let the owner decide if he wants that stone from there up. We'll keep the one in the main entrance element. I think that's a big feature.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we did have one plan that had just the base, but we felt because of the size of the building that it needed a stronger base. But again, we can work with staff.
Yeah.
One other thing is, Anna, as painful as this might sound, you need a landscape plan. You have street trees. You need to call out what those street trees are.
Oh, it's not in here?
Maybe it's in here and I missed it, but
I didn't see it.
I didn't see it.
Oh, C33.
Oh, C34?
C32 and C34. C34
shows. Then scratch that.
What? I'm sorry. C34.
Okay. Right.
Okay. All right, so we'll see you in a couple weeks. Thanks very much.
Okay. April 17th.
April 17th? Okay. That will be a busy day. Okay, the let's see, let's just stay put, and we'll go right to the next case. This is EA08112424, Design Advice, Larry Bruton's Emmer Gunzel Frasca, two blocks bounded by Northeast Grand, Oregon, Holiday, and MLK. This is Design Advice for the Headquarter Hotel in the Lloyd District.
No, I'm going to send out a new proposal. Probably in a week or two. I'm waiting on that to get
another one.
Yeah, they don't want
the notes. And maybe our briefings are going a little bit.
Yeah, that was an issue.
About money.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, it's not as bad. We're not as bad as Tom Holmes. Right, Bob, and then he's talking about it. So we have enough time for this guy.